Good afternoon, NFP Nation, and welcome back to another installment of the Press Coverage Podcast, brought to you here at the National Football Post. I am your host, Joe Fortenbaugh. With me, as always, two good friends and colleagues, Michael Lombardi and Matthew Snake Eyes Bowen.
That's right.
Gentlemen, how's it going? We were off last week. We're back. People are going to be expecting a big show. Lombardi, do you think you can deliver?
I just realized that you're still on the West Coast. I didn't realize you couldn't make it back. I mean, missing a lot of planes, huh, Joe?
Well, you know what? The weather was just so nice here. I just decided to extend my trip by about 6 days.
Yeah, of course. That's always good. You know, that's always good. Of course, when the Eagles lose, you're not in town. So that's
I know.
Well, yeah, you got to get out of town for that. I found it interesting, though, Mike. Every day I've been here, it's been 75 and sunny, which is funny because the day before I got here, you were in L.A. for 2 days. And tell everyone what the weather was like for you.
It rained sideways. I thought it didn't rain in Southern California, but I'm there. It rained sideways for 2 days. I got drenched going from the Hertz rental car place to get to my car. It's amazing. It's just like the black cloud follows all over me.
And Snake Eyes, how's everything going for you in Chicago? You got some cold weather there yet?
Oh, yeah. We have Halloween weather. Pouring rain, about 50 degrees, 40 degrees, but I mean, when the Bears win this week, everyone will be happy and no one will care about the weather. So we'll move on.
That might be a question for the podcast is what is Joe Fortenbaugh going to wear for Halloween? That's probably most people in America want to know that. Yeah, I would suspect that.
You know what? We might have to take email submissions and whoever gives the best one.
There you go.
Well, that could be a disaster. Getting down to business here, we're breaking down three of the big games for the weekend. Going to do a little buy or sell and then a little Monday night pick 'em. Let's start with pretty much the biggest game on the slate, 6-0, the Minnesota Vikings heading to Pittsburgh to take on the 4-2 Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike, the Steelers have ripped off three straight. As we've discussed, they've had a little bit of trouble up front this year in terms of protection, in terms of getting that surge on the offensive line. However, second-year running back Rashard Mendenhall has stepped in recently and played very well. On the other side of the football, Minnesota, as great as their run defense has been, their pass defense has suffered a little bit, and they could be without Antoine Winfield this weekend. What do you think is going to be the key in this game for the Vikings to come out at 7-0?
They're going to have to play better defense than they did in the second half against Baltimore, because right now Pittsburgh is a throwing football team. Big Ben can make every throw. The receivers, I think Mike Wallace has given them a dimension on the outside that they haven't had since losing Nate Washington. He replaced him perfectly. And then, you know, they got this ability to throw the ball up the field. They make more big plays. They average over 9 yards per pass attempt in the NFL, which is staggering. So they can get it up the field. I think their offensive line has really improved. They've gotten much better in pass protection. Even my favorite left tackle, Max Starks, is playing well. So I think that they're improved there. And I think ultimately Troy Polamalu coming back helps their defense. I think Minnesota's really got their work cut out for them slowing down this Pittsburgh attack, because Big Ben can hang on to the football and he can make throws up the field.
Snake Eyes, you're a big Brett Favre fan, and you've watched him all season. You've seen him make plays. You loved what happened at the end of the San Francisco game. You know, he's going to take this team on the road. They're heading into Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a pretty tough place to play. Good fans. I was at the stadium last year when they played the Giants. It's a great atmosphere. What do you see the key to this game being if Pittsburgh is going to come out of this thing having handed Minnesota their first loss?
Well, I think they do what they started to do last week, and that's make plays on defense, get their hands in the football, get to the quarterback, you know, use their zone blitz schemes in a way where they overload sides, roll coverage at the last moment. You know, Brett Favre is not a quarterback that you're really going to confuse, but you can't confuse protection schemes. And if they get the count wrong, then you got guys in the backfield hanging all over Favre. And I think this is finally the game. You know, we've been talking about it for a while, that Brett does make some mistakes on the road, outside of the dome, tough defense. And he's going to have to try to keep up, like Mike said, with Ben Roethlisberger. Because I'll tell you what, you talk about MVPs right now. You look at the numbers, you got to talk about Manning, Breeze, and I think Ben Roethlisberger. He's having that good of a season. I think this is going to be the first loss to the Vikings. And right now, you know, I'm kind of on the Pittsburgh train. I just like the way they're playing football.
Oh, that's nice. You know, at the beginning of the season, after they had lost a couple of games, you weren't saying that. Now that they've won three straight, you're on the train.
Really, let's look at it, though. They lose in Chicago. Ultimately, you know, Jeff Reed misses a couple field goals, so they lose that game. You know, they clearly could have won that game. The Cincinnati game, they lose down the stretch. You know, they had an opportunity to get off the field. They didn't. Conversely, Minnesota, you know, they beat San Francisco on the last play of the game. They win. And then last week, you know, Stephen, whatever his last name is, misses the field goal that ultimately could have won the game for Baltimore, and they win that one. So both teams are, you know, Minnesota's 6-0, but they could easily be 4-2. Pittsburgh's 4-2, could easily be 6-0 if a couple breaks. So I think that's what makes the game so appealing. And, you know, Minnesota's had that little bit of luck going for him so far this year. You know, Favre's played really well, played much better than I've ever thought he could play. But I do think there's a lot of luck involved with Minnesota's season so far.
Let's move to another game and cross-conference showdown, if you will. And we mentioned one of the teams earlier. Bowen, you're there in the epicenter of one of these teams. I don't even know what that was supposed to mean, but it's not very good. I was trying to throw big words out there. 3-2 Chicago at 4-2 Cincinnati. Both teams coming off a loss. Chicago lost on Sunday night at Atlanta last week. Cincinnati had problems with Bowen's Houston Texans, who have suddenly started to turn it on offensively.
Yeah, they're awesome.
We'll start with you. Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know about awesome, but they're scoring points. We'll give them that. The Bengals, you know, they looked good, and then they've struggled a little bit. You know, what are we supposed to make of this team? Are they going to be able to keep up with Chicago this week? How do you see this thing playing out? Because these are two teams, it's tough to get a read on at this point in the year.
I think the reason why it's tough to get a read on is because they're not, you know, they're not that different right now on offense. Neither of them can run the ball. If you're just talking about the last, you going back to last week, Cedric Benson gets held to under 50 yards by my, you know, vintage Houston defense. And then you look at Chicago, they going out to Atlanta. They can run the ball. They win that game. They have enough playmakers to win. But I think this is the type of game that's going to come down to quarterbacks. I think the Bears front seven is surprisingly one of the better units in the, you know, in the NFC so far this season. They can get pressure on Carson Palmer. Can the Bengals get pressure without Antoine Odom on Jay Cutler? And who makes more plays in the second half? I think it's going to be Jay Cutler makes a play. You're going to see Devin Hester maybe make a play on special teams, and I'm rolling with the Bear.
Rob, I agree. Knox, should I throw him in there?
Yeah, well, he's one of the guys.
He was waiting for you to do it, Tipper. He was waiting for you.
Well, it doesn't make his answer sound good if he's not naming the right players. Let's put it like that.
You know, the thing I think it's clear is Cincinnati's a little bit like San Francisco. Whenever they play against a really good offense, you know, like they did Houston last week, they're going to struggle. You know, Pittsburgh, they held Pittsburgh down. Pittsburgh had, you know, I thought Pittsburgh would score more points against them. They did a great job. Interconference games are always a little bit different. You know, interdivisional games when they play are difficult, but I think Cincinnati's problem here is I don't know how they're going to really slow down Chicago. I think it's going to be tough. Cutler can throw it. You know, last week he played poorly in the red area. Their whole team played poorly in the red area. If they make a couple red area plays, they beat Atlanta. I don't see them making those mistakes again this week. I think Chicago's a really good team. I think, well, like Snake Eyes said, their front seven's really underrated. I think they can get after the passer, which Cincinnati's going to have some trouble. And I haven't seen Carson Palmer really make a ton of plays to think he's back to 2005 Carson Palmer.
Mike, can Matt Forte get it going against this Bengals defense? I know a lot of people have been wondering where he's been this year.
Well, I think a couple things. You know, the style of running game that the Bears run, they run a power play, which takes a lot of time and effort. And you've got to really devote a lot of energy in your practices to running that play. And typically the Bears have done that. But now that the Bears have become a passing team, they've kind of diversified their game. And I think ultimately they're going to have to find a run other than the power that Matt Forte can really run effectively. And that's really where I see this thing going. He's got to find a way to get better at nickel runs, and they've got to utilize him in nickel runs because they're going to spread the field. They're going to spread the court because Cutler can spread the court, and he's going to have to figure out which ways, what runs he can run effectively without it being the power, which is what he made his living on last year.
Mm-hmm. Well, the third game on our slate for this morning, the 3-2 Dallas Cowboys coming off the bye. You know, there's a lot to be said about what's going on down there. As always, they're not short on storylines. But I think what's more important is the team they're hosting, the 4-1 Atlanta Falcons, who very quietly after going up and losing at New England, have blown out San Francisco on the road and beat the Bears last weekend, winning two straight. This is a team that at 4-1, I don't think many people are talking about them. They've kind of flown underneath the radar. Mike, we'll start with you on this one. This is a good quarterback showdown. It's Romo versus Ryan. You know, Atlanta's a little bit banged up in the secondary. Is this going to be one of those high-scoring shootouts that I think some people are expecting, or the defense is going to show up in this one?
You know, I don't think the defenses can show up because both of the weaknesses for both teams are in the secondary. I mean, the Cowboys struggle. They struggle covering tight ends. They struggle covering on the perimeter, even with Terrence Newman. This Falcon team is very diversified. I think the one thing we're seeing with Atlanta is they're moving slowly away from Michael Turner being the feature and Matt Ryan's become the feature. Michael Turner's not the same back he was last year. I think those 337 carries have worn him down a little bit. So I think Atlanta has become a much bigger passing team, and I think they've done a great job. They're very difficult to handle. Dallas, on the other hand, they've got to find a way to control the clock. They got to keep the ball, because what New England did to beat Atlanta was keep the ball away from their offense. And that's ultimately what they have to do. You're not going to sack Matt Ryan. I mean, DeMarcus Ware and those guys, that's usually how they have to win on defense, with pressure. And the Falcons do a good job of getting the ball out quickly. So I do think it'll be a high-scoring game. I think it'll come down to what quarterback makes the mistake. I think Atlanta's the better team here. I really do.
Snake Eyes, last time we saw the Dallas Cowboys playing, Miles Austin was going off for 250 yards and a couple touchdowns at the wide receiver position. Dallas has been desperate for a wide receiver to step up and start making plays. Roy Williams, who they traded the farm for, has been nothing but a disappointment. And Patrick Creighton just... You and I were talking about the one day. He seems like he doesn't want to get hit. Who's going to have to be the playmaker in this one for Tony Romo if the Cowboys want to get out of this thing with a win and move to 4-2?
Well, I think if they can get, let's say, 10 plays out of Felix Jones. You know, he practiced again yesterday. If he can play, I think this is a totally different offense when they have him in there. But he's been hurt. How much he's going to play, we don't really know. Then I think he comes back to Witten and Austin. Got to get Witten involved. The thing Miles Austin did is he broke tackles. You know, the Kansas City secondary he played against is pretty poor. We all know Roy Williams is basically a tight end playing wide receiver. He's not going to give you the big play. So that's what Romo needs, because he's not very accurate with the ball. He needs someone to go get it and someone to break a tackle for him to look good. I think, you know, the Atlanta secondary, I think they're an average secondary. I lost Brian Williams last week to a knee injury. So I think this is a game Tony Romo's going to have to make plays from the win, and I think he's going to have to get the ball to Austin. And guy's going to have to break tackles, get down the field, make some plays for him to move the football, because we know we're going to see the running game. And like Mike said, their defense, I don't know. I think they're a big play defense. I think they're going to have to make a big play or two in the fourth quarter to hold off Atlanta. And I think this is going to be one of the best games of the day.
Who you got winning it?
I'm taking the boys at home.
Oh, my God. God, can you believe that? Mike, who you got in that one?
You know, Joe, you must be sleeping. I said I like Atlanta to win the game. I mean, come on, wake up. You're the host of the show. You know, you're getting like Kramer. You're getting like Kramer when he was hosting the Merv Griffin show on the set. You're losing it. Do we need to bring Newman in? Huh?
He was outstanding. A far better host than I could ever aspire to be. Moving to, and I knew you said that. I just wanted to reiterate it to close out that segment of the show, by the way.
No, the question was asked in a curious manner. It wasn't asked in a reformation manner. So I disagree with that completely.
I asked the question because people don't know this. We talk about this off air, but you negotiate so that you can get 6 minutes of your voice on this podcast. I'm just trying to. So, all right, we'll move to buy or sell. We're going to start with a real serious one this week. Richard Seymour, the Oakland Raiders, after they're coming off the big win against the Philadelphia Eagles, says the Raiders are going to the playoffs. Whether or not he meant in 2009 or 2015, I don't know. Mike, we'll start with you. Do the buy or sell the Raiders going to the playoffs?
Oh, I would never. No, I'd sell that. There's no chance they're going to the playoffs. I just don't see them having the kind of offensive football team, because I think ultimately, and I know this is going to hurt and pain you, Joe, but I think defensive coordinators will start to double Zach Miller, unlike what the Eagles did this week. They just let him run off on the field. Yeah, I mean, they just let him. I don't know if Sean McDermott realized that Zach Miller could actually catch a pass. So I think they'll double him from here on out.
Jamarcus Russell, well. Look at the numbers going back. That's their number one receiver, far so than anybody else. Snake Eyes, tell me you're buying the Raiders in the playoffs.
No, it's asinine. I'm not doing that. No, because I look back. I always look back to the quarterback. Yeah, I think you always have to look at quarterbacks, quarterback-driven league. And, you know, people want to forget that Jamarcus Russell did make a lot of poor throws last week, even in the victory. I just think he's going to ultimately kill them late in games, and I'm not going to buy this. It's going to kill, you know, our own Wes Bunting, our director of college scouting, who's a huge Raider fan, but I know you're listening, Wes. I'm sorry. They ain't going anywhere.
That's nice. Take a cut at the guy who's producing the podcast. That's so nice. Number two, the New England Patriots and Tampa Bay Buccaneers travel to London, England this weekend for an international game. Snake Eyes will stay with you. Number one, if you were playing in, if you were still playing in the league, would you have liked to have done something like this? And kind, and number two, kind of like a part B, do you think this is good for the NFL? Should they have more international games?
Well, I think it's cool for the players because they all get a bye week afterwards, which is it's not bad because you get to fly home and you know you got the week off. I don't have to play the following Sunday, but you know I just think it's lost its luster. I mean, if you were to go down the street and ask someone about the game, they wouldn't know. They're not really publicizing like they used to. I don't think it's that big a deal.
I couldn't agree with you more because I didn't even realize this game was on the schedule for this week. It was 3 or 4 days before.
That's because you've been in California. Yeah, that's because you've been in California for 14 weeks. I mean, come on. Sure, you haven't realized it. I mean, you haven't been paying attention. You don't get the morning paper. It's the afternoon paper now.
It's nice out here. What do you want me to do? You know, I'm looking at the ocean. Pat's Bucks. I mean, we already know how it's going to end. So Wembley Stadium, wherever it is, hopefully it's not going to be raining. Mike, what do you think, though, about this? Buy or sell more international games? Is it good for the league?
I do think it's good for the league because I think it's good that we get that we bring people over that, that can learn about the game. And I think ultimately we have to keep expanding the game. It's good for the players. It'll make more money for them. It's good for the owners. It'll make money for them. I think it's good for everybody. I think, the more people we can reach, like at the Internet, I think it's better. And so, you know, yeah, I do. I agree that maybe it hasn't been as effective here in terms of the appeal to us. But, you know, in London, it sells out quickly. People love the sport, and I think it's good. You know, now they may not like watching the Tampa Bay Bucks this week, no. But that being said, you know, it's still a good game.
Number three, we're going to move over to the AFC West and talk a little bit here about the San Diego Chargers. Currently 2-3, 6 weeks into the season. You know, with Denver at 6-0, we all watched the game Monday night. Mike, we're going to start with you. Is San Diego done? Are they not going to the playoffs this year?
I don't think they are, Tipper, and I think there's two reasons. I think LT's not LT, and I think Sean Merriman's not Sean Merriman. And if you look at the Colts' two best players, Peyton Manning and Dwight Freeney, they're making all the plays. And when your two best players don't make plays, it's hard for your team to win.
I would agree. I was when I was at the game on Monday night, it was funny. The first time Sean Merriman's name came over the PA was either at the end of the second or the beginning of the third quarter, and there was like this big sarcastic clapping and cheering that it was like, you know, finally this guy has made a play. I couldn't believe it, but you're right. He's not the guy he used to be. Snake Eyes, tell me, come on. You know I like the Chargers. Are the Bolts getting to the playoffs?
I don't think they're done yet. We'll talk in a couple weeks about them making the playoffs, but I agree with Mike.
Of course. Well, yeah, in a couple weeks when it's much more obvious, then you'll make your prediction. Okay, thank you.
I have to pick them, Joe. I picked them to win the Super Bowl. So I have to pick the Bolts. But I agree with Mike. The thing about LT is, you know, they run the power roll and they run the lead open week. And LT doesn't get to the second level anymore. You know, he used to slip that first tackle and then boom, he's in the second level. And you were at the game Monday night. His biggest run was, what, 17 yards? You know, 4 years ago, that would have been a 40-yard gain because he would have broke that tackle at the end. He's just not the same. And Merriman, you know, what killed me about Merriman is he said that the Broncos were disrespectful to the Bolts this week, and then it wasn't that – they have to play him again. You know, this one wasn't a cakewalk. But I'll tell you what, it looked like a cakewalk to me in that fourth quarter when the Broncos are running the ball, controlling the clock. San Diego's got a lot of work to do, but I have to take him. I picked him to win it all, and, you know, I'm still a huge Phillip Rivers fan, so I'll give you that, Joe. I'm taking him.
Great. For as good as that game was, it's just like you said, Matt, towards the end of the third, beginning of the fourth, you could really see and sense the tide shifting in that game as Denver began to just kind of muscle San Diego around the field. They really assumed control late in that game. And that's what good games do, or good teams do, excuse me. When you look at Denver, how many games have they pulled off in the fourth quarter this year? They had to take New England to overtime. The Dallas game came to the stretch. You know, just take a look. This is a team that when it's on the line late in the game, they are winning football games. So that's That's something. I don't know what it is, but that's something. Last thing for the show today, we're going to throw the Monday night pick'em in there. You know, I, as a Philly fan, I'm not even sure how into this I'm going
to. You're not allowed to pick. You're not allowed to pick this. You know where you're going to pick. You know who you're going to pick. I mean,
well,
it's ridiculous.
No, you know what's interesting about this is, and I'm going to throw the two teams up there. It's Philly at the Washington Reds. And here's what's interesting. Washington always gives Philadelphia trouble. We lost to them twice last year. So yeah, I don't even know what to say. I don't even want to pick. Snake Eyes, who do you like? Is it Smoot and the Redskins or is it the Eagles?
No, I'm taking the Eagles. I just think the Redskins are such a disaster right now. I don't even know what Jim Zorn is anymore. I mean, he's just a guy who runs team meetings and gets out of the way for Sherman Lewis. You know, it's a major disaster over there. I love Greg Blash, the coordinator. I think he's a great coach on defense for the Skins. I think they keep it close, but Philly's got too much. They take in the fourth quarter and pull away. Skins, they just don't have it, Joe. I'm taking Philly 22, Washington 12.
All right, so 34 total points. I'll write that down. Lombardi, what's it going to be? The Eagles bounce back this week after the
I like the Eagles. I don't think the Redskins haven't scored 20 points in 13 of the last 14 games. I don't think they can score enough points. As long as King Dunlap doesn't play left tackle, I'm picking the Eagles.
You know, I got to hand it to you. You've done very well on the show today. A lot of good stat information you've been throwing out there today.
Well, you know, that's because I didn't go to California for 17 weeks. I've been working at my game. You know, I don't take vacations in the middle of the season. You know,
You know, I resent that a little bit because I've been waking up at like 3 a.m. to make sure I'm on East Coast time for everybody. When I get all
as Parcells says, just keep loading the wagon. Don't tell me how hard it is. All right, guys.
All right, enough's enough, fellas. That's how we do it. Everyone in NFC Nation, thank you for tuning in to this edition of the NFC Podcast. Enjoy the games this weekend. We will see you next week.